Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Different Stages Radio. I'm your host, JJ, and I'm pretty thrilled today to have on Different Stages Radio for the very first time founding member, lead guitarist from legendary band Great White, Mark Kendall. How are you doing today?
Hey, JJ. Thanks for having me, man. Doing good.
I appreciate you.
Thanks, bro.
How are things going in your world?
Pretty good. Just at home chilling. So you might hear a dog bark or something, but you won't hear a lawnmower. Those guys come on Monday.
Noted.
Yeah, so I'm just chilling at home. I've been writing songs lately and recording down at my buddy's, who has a little more recording gear than I do. Because I have to call an extra guy to come in here and bring a little bit of gear.
Okay.
But if I go to Tracy G's, he's a guitar player. We've been friends since we were teenagers. He was in Dio and this band called World War III or whatever. But great guitar player, but he has a proper studio, you know. So I played on one of his records, and he said, anytime I have an idea, I can come down to his studio and lay it down. And I'm laying down full songs. He's thinking I'm going to come down and just put a riff on tape. He goes, you're going to do whole songs? I'm like, yeah, bro. That's the way I roll, you know.
Good for you. And is this stuff you or stuff for Great White?
For Great White.
Nice.
Yeah. Just been, you know, I usually throw down ideas. And I want them to hear it kind of close to what's in my head instead of if I feel strong about the tune, that way they can get a better picture instead of just like having an acoustic and go, hey, check this out. You know, they might go, hey, man, I don't know. You know, that sounds like AC/DC, you know, but if they hear the orchestration more, then they go, oh yeah, yeah, let's work on that. You know what I mean?
That's awesome.
I got a better chance
to give them the full effect so they can get the full reaction.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. So again, I'm close to where you're going to be playing on January 20th. I'm in the Vancouver. Well, I'm in Vancouver, but you'll be playing at the Great Canadian Casino, Vancouver, which is actually in the Coquitlam, British Columbia. It's just like 20 minutes, 30 minutes outside of downtown Vancouver. Great room, though. Great great casino, great venue. You'll be playing there with Slaughter. And I see a few shows coming up the West Coast, including a show in Tulalip I saw, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But, so you'll be you're doing a number of dates, as you have been over the years, with Slaughter. So there must be some pretty cool connection with those guys.
Yeah, well, it gets requested a lot, that package, but we do other stuff too. You know, we've done stuff with a lot of random bands, you know, that we didn't play with back in the day, you know, because if we did support a big act like Scorpions or whatever, it would be like a long tour. It wasn't like we're doing now, which is kind of fly dates. You know, we're not out on a bus with one band or headlining. So it's a little different today. You know, we might play with REO Speedwagon one week and then, you know, who knows. But it's kind of fun, actually, because we meet a lot of people that, you know, we've kind of respected over the years, but never, you know, met them in person. So it's kind of fun just to, you know, play with an April Wine or you know, whatever, you know, bands you've seen on MTV or heard for years, but you've never met them, you know. So I don't know. It's kind of neat, you know.
Kind of bringing it more full circle now, I guess, in a way. Kind of filling in some of those gaps.
I'm sorry.
Kind of bringing it all full circle and filling in some gaps along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when I meet like heroes of mine, you know, that I kind of grew up on, it's kind of cool, you know. And I don't know, it's a different situation than being on a bus with one band and you kind of just roll into the almost like it seems like the same venue every night when you're playing arenas. We used to have to put duct tape on the stage and write down the city we were in, because we didn't even know. Unless you're paying attention to your tour writer or whatever, but it's this is more eventful, like we don't know what's going to happen next, so that's kind of fun.
But as far as old school tours go, though, because I was noticing that it was just last week, I believe it was the 40th anniversary, the release that week of Judas Priest's Defenders of the Faith, which will also side with your, I think that was that Great White's first big tour, which will also mark later this year the 40th anniversary of the debut full length debut Great White album. So I think that's pretty.
Actually, our very first tour was with Whitesnake in the UK. We played with them for a couple months. And then when we came back to the States, we opened for Judas Priest. And that was Defenders of the Faith. So, yeah, great memory. They were so sweet to us. That's what I remember most. It was like they knew we were green and scared to death. You know what I mean?
But
So
they held your hand.
they kind of, well, took us under their wing, so to speak. And mostly what I took away from that is not, how to play or whatever. It was more like how to treat people. I saw how professional they were. They're really personable. They care about their fans, stuff like that. That's what I kind of took away as far as learning something from, experience, big pro touring rock band or whatever, how down to earth they were. So we, over the years, we've always tried to treat our opening acts, the best we can. Because bands like that, like Judas Priest, Scorpions, they want the whole night to be great. That they don't want the opening act to suck and then they come out and they're all, the bitch and rock stars. They want people to get their money's worth and the opening acts kick ass too. So they wanted us to do good.
And do you have any memories of Kickaxe on those that run? Because Kickaxe, those guys are primarily based out of the Vancouver area now, and they're still working.
I remember Kickaxe. There was another band from Canada that was, they did that song that Randy Bachman wrote. It was a Sherry, oh Sherry.
Oh, I'm getting stumped.
God, I can't remember the name of that band, but they were actually pretty good, but they kind of flew under the radar, but they were pretty badass, kind of like that band. But yeah,
You're not thinking Coney
you
Hatch or something, are you?
not Coney Hatch.
No.
God, I'm sorry, I
Okay,
can't think
I'm
of
sorry too, because I should know. Once this is done,
it.
the light bulb will go off and go, oh man, how did I forget that?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, with
Exactly.
that though too, like I was saying, it's going to be the 40th anniversary of the debut full length Great White album. Anything planned for
Yeah.
that, or?
Yeah. Well, actually, we've been throwing in songs off the first album.
Perfect.
We've been playing Stick It and stuff, We played On Your Knees.
Excellent.
On Your Knees, believe it or not, when we had our EP out, we didn't really have a record deal. That's what people don't understand. We had a five-song EP. That's exactly it right there. That's the EP, right?
Yep. I'm
Is
one of
that
those
the EP?
guys.
Yeah, that's the EP. Okay, so anyways, yes, it is a record, but we only had a distribution deal. That it wasn't like we were on Chrysalis or Warner Brothers.
Right.
We weren't even on Enigma, which is the label that distribution deal Green World came from. So we had a distribution deal, but through connections with our manager and this guy and that guy, knew a radio programmer and was able to get On Your Knees on the radio, like in rotation, dude.
That's
I couldn't
huge. That's
believe,
huge.
I could not believe this. We went to listen to it one day. We didn't even know it was a surprise, right? He just came to our rehearsal and goes, set up this little ghetto blaster and said, check this out. We thought it was going to be an ad for a show because we were playing locally and stuff. But On Your Knees came on, and we thought it was just that one time they're just like doing a special thing because they don't play local bands, you know, with national acts. It just wasn't, that never happened. And all of a sudden, it was playing like six times a day, dude. I couldn't believe it. I had to pinch myself. I'm going, why are we playing with bands like Tom Petty? I don't get this. You know, this isn't normal. And it kind of started something. And then Rat made an EP, and they had a song on the radio, you know. So because people really responded. So, you know, I have to respect KMET and thank them for getting something, taking a chance like that, because it really got something rolling in Los Angeles bands.
Well, that's massive, because you look at the time, there's so much competition. To even get 30 seconds would have been massive. So to get that
absolutely
is unheard of. Just as MTV's taken off and all of that, like, it's just, no, like, you would never expect that.
Plus, as far as the sea of bands that were happening at the time, the competition, the level of these bands, guitar players, I mean, I'm talking like this was a healthy music scene. It was like Van Halen, and then the bands under them were all like solid, and we were like not really likely to be the one, you know, that was the big deal. You know, we really, like when we played a club or something, our ads, you could barely see our name. It was so small. But the way we got lucky was, I think, by playing so often, you know, finally somebody was in the crowd that could help us. And that was really our goal, was to hopefully have someone in the crowd that had some kind of connections who could help us. And that just happened, you know. So you need a little luck, but we did work pretty hard to, you know.
And it must have helped those bands around you that are helping push you as well. Like the comp, like it's, I think it's probably friendly competition, which I feel can be probably
absolutely
a lost thing these days, having bands to push you, you know, and hearing other things from other songs and saying, oh, I want to maybe take that little piece and make that into a song, and accidental influences rather than full on ripping off.
Well, you know, I kind of watched Van Halen grow from a seed. So I was a fan. I was in a band myself, but I was a fan. I was going to watch them play like in backyards and clubs and whatnot. And so I'm not going to play like Eddie Van Halen. It's just not, you know, for one thing, I could never do it. For the other thing, I'm more influenced by the blues side of guitar players, you know, like the Johnny Winters, Alvin Lee, those type of guitar players. So that was my influence. But what I did take from them was, tried to take from them, was their work ethic, because they played more than everybody.
Right.
And we had conversations about that. We go, if we're going to give ourselves any kind of a chance, we need to play more than everyone. So that meant playing free a lot, you know, playing for a beer, you know, whatever. But, you know, we just kind of figured, you know, we were comparing it, believe it or not, to a Tide commercial, Tide detergent commercial.
Okay.
Like how that's all you get to see when you're watching TV is that detergent. So you just kind of automatically buy it when you go to the store. We're thinking, if they keep seeing our band over and over, maybe we can brainwash them. You know what I mean?
Literally brainwash them with Tide.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Just crazy. It's crazy thinking, but you know what I mean? It's like, and plus at the same time, we're getting better because we're playing so often. You know what I mean? So it's a win-win situation. We get to get improve and get our name out there.
Well, on the topic
of course, when we do get discovered, they change our name.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, you're not the
First
fox
day.
anymore. You're not Dante Fox anymore.
Exactly. We I remember us saying we said we're going to lose all our following. He goes, "Don't worry about those 70 people. I'm
Yeah.
talking, taking it like worldwide."
Oh
You go, "Oh,
yeah.
okay."
And now there's 70,000 that pretend that they were there in the day. I'm sure, like all those old bands, I was there. Everybody was there.
They do say that, and but they saw the transition when we changed the name and everything. But there, I do get see people chime in on Facebook and stuff that saw some of the, saw some clubs, like this one club that actually kind of adopted us, so we kind of played there a lot, and then would go off to Hollywood and go here and there. It was kind of our home base. We rehearsed right next to it and stuff. So yeah, a lot of great memories from the struggling days, believe it or not. It's I don't think people want to hear how great you are. They want to hear like when you were eating mustard sandwiches and had the girls bringing McDonald's over, because those are the most interesting stories, and plus you get to hear that. The overnight success thing that everyone talks about, I've yet to see any documentaries or any stories on a band that they just overnight made it or whatever. It's like the Pettys, the Eagles, whoever, they all have the story. It's like you can't even believe they didn't give up. You know what I mean? They've been shot down so many times, and dreams that didn't happen. And you start to say, man, is the world against me or what? And so when things start to go your way, people sometimes like to chime in and say, oh, it's an overnight success.
Oh, totally. But they don't know. Yeah.
They don't know,
Yeah.
man. They don't know.
But you sort of alluded to a documentary, though, because you have one. Well, the Great White does, with the live performance from the Hard Rock. That's coming soon, is it? Do we know what's going on with that?
There's something coming out on Paramount Plus
Yeah.
that is, I think they're going to get pretty deep into the whole 80s LA explosion
Okay.
that happened, and they really get detailed stories from everybody. I did a lengthy interview with the Paramount
Okay, cool.
from at M3, and I think it's going to be good. They dug pretty deep, so yeah, people get to look and hear our story, pretty detailed. So
But no
I
word yet
think it'll
when
be.
that premieres, or
They said around February last year. I go, do you have any idea? And they said probably around February.
okay.
And I just signed off on a couple things recently for it. They asked questions, and I said, "Yeah, that'll be fine," or whatever, but they needed some release of some of the stuff they're going to talk about.
Very good. I also wanted to ask you about Scott. How's Scott doing after his back surgery?
He's healing quickly. It's pretty amazing that the surgery, and I've heard that knee surgeries these days are like way high end from, technically, than the way they did it in the past. It's the same with back surgery. They insert stuff, and it's a crazy procedure. He sent me a video of the procedure he had done. He had a lot of pain like for a week. But he just told me day before yesterday, he's feeling a lot better. He's moving a little bit. He's not taking any pain meds besides Advil or whatever. He was taking this, like the opiate type pain
I can do that.
meds. And he goes, God, I hate this. I feel like a zombie. I can't even talk, he said. But the pain was so bad. Yeah, we're hoping for a speedy recovery on that, and which is happening now. So we have a bass player out temporarily, and doing a great job.
Anyone of note or just buddy or?
Not really. His name's Ian. I don't even know his last name. We didn't even rehearse. He learned all the stuff Scott showed him on the internet
That's impressive.
and learned three different type sets that we do and just came in and played everything further. It was like
Okay.
crazy. Yeah, so we let people know that he's filling in and he's doing a great job.
And then in the front man world, because some people may that may be out of the loop. So from Terry
Oh.
to Mitch to
Yeah.
Andrew and now Brett.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of clips with Brett and Brett sounds and looks awesome. He's,
Yeah,
how's that going?
it's amazing that we had to go through all that, but we loved Andrew and I still do. Great singer. But his loyalty and his first band is Last in Line with Vivian Campbell, but what we can't do is like cancel shows because he has a tour or whatever and get a million different singers to fill in or whatever. We're just not that type band. We like to have one singer, let's go. Different things happen, but that was one of them. So we had Brett, who we have now, fill in just for one show, and he just absolutely blew minds. I could not believe how good it was. He's singing Stick It like perfect, has this range from A to Z. Pretty much nothing overwhelms the guy. He's pretty comfortable on stage and stuff. So, and it's really nice to be around or whatever. So, we ended up going with him
Yeah,
because he
because
delivers
he
the
has a
song
good
so good.
respect for the song too. It's not just singing the song, but it's like I feel like he's really dialed in to, understanding and feeling the song, not just singing the song.
Yeah, absolutely. He puts a little bit of his own twist on certain phrases that in sometimes I like it better. They're very, minuscule things. So he's not like changing the melody or anything like that. Just kind of the way he squeezes a few notes, to put his personality into it. But yeah, like you said, he has a lot of passion. He really loves what he's singing, some of our old big songs. And we're just having a lot of fun.
Because yeah, with when thinking back to when Mitch was there, I remember reading an interview that you had a number of songs that maybe they weren't fully recorded, but stuff that you had written and were planned for a new album. So is it possible that we might see one with Brett, or are you still just kind of feeling
Yeah.
things out?
No, it is full blown. The only thing that kind of put a we were going in December. We had a plan for like 8 days of getting together, putting our ideas together and stuff. But then Scott had this surgery, and we like to involve the whole band. So it's a little bit on a hold. But in the meantime, Brett and I have been going into the studio, putting all kinds of stuff down.
Excellent.
And I think he's sang on like six songs now. So it's pretty amazing. And Tracy G is hearing this stuff, behind the scenes, and you go, dude, you got it. You got it. He really is a good singer. For not being in a band that has toured the world and, have a bunch of records out, he doesn't act green like somebody who's never done this before. He really just pretty much goes out there and just handles it and doesn't overwhelm his brain with anything.
Well, seems a
So
little
that's
bit of
kind of
an
good.
old soul, a little bit maybe. Is that fair?
Yeah, I
Yeah.
agree. I
Yeah.
agree. That makes sense. Yeah.
Like that maybe he was
Yeah.
born about 30 years too late.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's kind of funny they said that. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, that's cool. I also wanted to bring up a few things more before we go. Beef jerky. What's up with that?
Oh, that's something
Great
I
white
came
beef
up with.
jerky.
I've never really been a beef jerky person, but I don't know. I think he was talking to somebody and they had suggested it, because we did the coffee, so just using the brand for a few things, and it gives the fans something, a little extra with merchandise, maybe something they can, something they can have for later or whatever, and it's kind of fun, great white coffee. I mean,
Why not?
face the day coffee. We had to, they had like three different deals. Face the day. I don't want to face the day. I'm gonna have some coffee. I'm gonna have some great white coffee.
Want
But
waiting for coffee.
waiting for coffee. So yeah, that's somebody. This Audie was talking to somebody, and they had this business where they sold beef jerky, and they said, "Hey, would you be interested in maybe doing some great white beef jerky and stuff?" And they started talking about it, and then they're coming up with like logos for, for the bags and stuff. So yeah, it's all in fun,
That's perfect. That's perfect. So I guess in a way I kind of alluded it to there, waiting for coffee, waiting for love. On a previous episode of my show where it's primarily music that I do play and I like to insert these interviews, I did a guitar solo special on solos that were really important to me when I was developing what I really, really dig when, and this isn't to make you feel 400 years old or to make me feel like I'm 10 years old, but when I
Yeah,
was
gotcha.
13, 14, 15 during the debut Great White and Once Bitten record that and Shot in the Dark, that Waiting for Love and I is one of my favorite solos in a song ever. And I find solos like that and for me that show, I don't want to dwell on that show too much because there's so many solos that I love in there, but just the I feel that there's this lost art of the guitar solo where it's
Right.
not just the solo, but the band that's playing around it. And
Yeah.
I feel that that feel and stuff is lost in it, and I find it at least reassuring that there's still people like yourself that are introducing that to people. And how do you feel about creating solos? Like, is that cool for you? Like, do you recognize that? Like a solo, like Waiting for Love, for example?
Yes, absolutely. I really try, make an effort to, first of all, put the song first and say, what can I do in this to make it even better? I really want something that's going to live a while. And the other day, and I do this a lot, I go on the internet and I watch some of these guitar players interpret our music and solos and stuff. And a lot of times they'll get it right, but they play it in different areas on the neck, which is normal. I'm sure I did the same thing growing up, learning songs. I didn't play it in all the positions that, they did.
Yes.
But one guy blew my mind. Well, for one thing, he's super accomplished. I think he's from Italy or something. His name's Sasha something or other. And he did the solo for Highway Nights. Like he was bending the notes and stuff like the way I do. It was like amazing that someone got it that good. Not that he's learning like an Eddie Van Halen solo or Paul Gilbert, some whizzed out like incredible something that's hard technically, but just the way he played it, it was like I couldn't believe someone. I've never seen it before where I go, that guy's like playing it like exactly how I played it. Like I can't believe how good he interpreted it. And as far, because I'll see a guy like play one of my solos, and not like it again, we know they're not technically, it's like the Stairway to Heaven solo, like any guitar player that's been playing a while could probably cop that solo and play it note for note or whatever. But there's one thing about playing a solo note for note, and the other thing is how they feel the vibrato and the bend, and
exactly,
you know, there's a certain thing going on there that you really can't explain. Do you just say if he did it good or you know, not, you know, like, yeah, he hit all the notes, but there was no feel, really.
Yeah.
You know, it was lacking in the feel department. So as far as the Waiting for Love thing, yeah, you know, kind of just fit right in there, you know. It's really a song, really kind of tells you what to play, you know. Sometimes when I'm writing a song or writing with someone else, I don't just throw chords together where the solo goes. I try to do something that I can really do something sweet over.
Yeah.
You know, not just hit and hope, so to speak.
Exactly.
Like, I just put like three chords together and just try to come up with something. Like, I kind of know there's a lot available that I can play over this progression, this chord progression that if I get it right, can be pretty sweet.
A beginning, a middle, and an end.
Yeah, exactly.
Dynamics and feel, totally. Well, I appreciate all the time that you've taken for Different Stages Radio today. I want to mention that you can win tickets to see Great White and Slaughter January 20th at the Great Canadian Casino in Coquitlam, British Columbia, Great Canadian Casino, Vancouver. We've got a pair of tickets to give away, so go to differentstagesradio.com for your chance to win. And I thank my guest today, Mark Kendall, Great White.
Awesome.
This is
Hey,
awesome.
Nice.
This was
Yeah,
a really
nice
good time, and we will look forward to the celebrations of the debut full-length Great White album, celebrating 4 years this year, and hopefully a forthcoming album later this year or next with Brett on vocals. Speedy recovery to Scott. Get your Great White beef jerky wherever you can find it. As well.
Yeah, any merchandise that anybody wants to get, just go to officialgreatwhite.com. And it also, like, dates come in, so you can see when we're going to be in your area or someplace drivable. And you know, we try to keep everybody updated on what's happening, like if there's going to be new music coming, well, or any kind of, you know, new notes on stuff. officialgreatwhite.com. And we're on all the social media, so we're not hiding from no one.
Nope. Perfect. Much appreciated.
Awesome.
Be well.
Thanks, JJ.
Thank you.
Take care, man.